Hello, friend, and welcome to the podcast of Canaan Christian Center, featuring the dynamic ministry of Apostle Craig Banks and Pastor Cheryl Banks. Set your heart to hear a life-changing and empowering word from God. For a while about exposing the spirit of poverty, and then we begin to talk to you about breaking the grip of poverty. And we told you how the grip of poverty is actually the mindsets that have been established in individuals by the spirit of poverty, and that poverty, along with some other demon spirits, are considered master spirits, and they want to teach you. And their teaching will establish a system that's of the kingdom of darkness, that's of this world, that will keep a person, even though you're saved, that will keep you in that system, and you never come into the fullness of what Christ has shed his blood for. Amen. And God wants us out of it. And so he began to share with me some time back. He said, I'm going to show you the strategy of the enemy against my people. And I'm going to show you my wisdom on how to break the strategy of the enemy, shut it down, and how to overcome. Amen. And so that's what we've been dealing with. Praise the Lord. And it is wonderful. The Lord told me, he said, son, in order to break the grip of poverty, which is the mindsets that have been established, to break the grip of poverty, we must understand the law of environment. And then we got to have four things established in us, and that is the reverential fear of the Lord, understand his righteousness, understand and walk in integrity. Everybody say integrity. Integrity. And then also partnership giving. We got to understand when God hooks you up with, there's certain people that he wants you to sow into. There are certain ministries he'll want you to sow into. Those who you partner with, you can sow into a whole lot, but he'll tell you the ones he wants you to sow into, and you do it. Some he might tell you to sow into it for a year. Amen. You have to obey him. Always remember what the Lord is after is obedience. Because we are children of God, that should be built in us. But the Bible said Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. So when you decide you're going to obey God, it won't always be on a sunny day. Amen. It could be a sunny day when you make the decision, but I promise you something comes to challenge that. And it'd be like, oh, Lord, when it gets tight, will you still obey him? Anyway. So we began sharing with you Sunday about righteousness, and that I told you that our righteousness in Christ is the centerpiece on which our Christian faith is built. And everything God's word promises us hangs on righteousness. The entire structure of our salvation in Christ is built on righteousness. And if we're going to walk in the joy of our salvation and the power of the promises of God in Christ, and we're going to break the grip of poverty, we're going to have to understand our righteousness in Christ Jesus. Amen. Everybody say, I'm righteous. I'm righteous. So tonight, let's look at our outline. We want to look at righteousness and from the standpoint of a reflection of Almighty God. Amen. Did you know a lot of folks are struggling? They're trying to believe God, but the reason they can't believe God or they're struggling in believing him is because they don't believe that they're righteous. They are operating on a mindset that says that I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Well, you can't be an old sinner and saved. You either saved or you ain't. And I know that's not good English, but you're either saved or you're not. If you're saved, then you need to understand what saved means. It doesn't just mean that you got a ticket that sends you two blocks past the gate of hell and curves around and takes you on to heaven. I'm just waiting on Jesus. Come on. What he did is much more than that. But we got to find it out in the word of God so that we can know how to accurately wage a good warfare. Because if you don't know who you are in Christ, I promise you, the devils will do a sucker punch on you. and will be stealing everything you got. You don't want to get to heaven and find out that this is what Jesus bought and paid for. It was yours, and the enemy, instead of allowing yourself to follow the path that God has laid out, you followed an alternate route that the enemy set up and painted signs saying that God says this way. Amen. I'm telling you, the pathway to all that God has for us in every area and dimension of our life has already been laid out. That pathway is laid out. Jesus walked it out. But if we don't know, it's just like anything that's neglected. If you neglect your yard, it will grow up. And it will look ridiculous. Amen. I've seen yards that were beautiful, but they got neglected. And stuff was growed all up in it, and weeds, and the nice grass is gone, or is it down in there somewhere, but all kind of stuff. It just growed up. And what happens is you bypass that and follow what has been well manicured. Religion has been well manicured for too many of us, and we follow that path. When the truths of the kingdom have been neglected, and now they're overgrown with weeds. But if you get down to the root of things, you'll find the yellow brick road, as it were. You'll find the road that Jesus has already paved. This stuff just growed up over it. Any truth that we neglect becomes darkened. It's the truth, but we didn't give it no attention to it. So weeds grow over. But God is wonderful. He loves us so that he's causing us to find out who we are so that we can walk in what he has for us. So let's look at this. Look at your outline. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8 through 10. It's in the Amplified, and we want to look at that. It says, yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege. Say a priceless privilege. The overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord and of progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more fully and clearly. So what you have learned of the Lord, I promise you, there's so much more of him. So don't settle in what you know already. There is more. Tell your neighbors more. For his sake I have lost everything and consider it all to be mere rubbish, refuse, dregs, in order that I may win or gain Christ, the Anointed One. Verse 9, and that I may actually be found and known as in him. Secret. If somebody's going to know that you are in him, what they're going to find out is that you walk in righteousness. Found and known as in him, not having any self-achieved righteousness that can be called my own, based on my obedience to the law's demands, which are ritualistic uprightness and supposed right standing with God thus acquired, but possessing that genuine righteousness, underline that, genuine righteousness, which comes through faith in Christ. Oh, so it lets you know there's two. There's one you can work for that won't get you too far. And there's one that you can receive by faith. Jesus already worked it out. So he said, just receive what I've done. See, for us, too many people, that's just too good to be true. But that's what the gospel is. News that is too good to be true, but it's true. Through faith in Christ, the Anointed One, the truly right standing with God, which comes from God by saving faith. Verse 10, for my determined purpose is that I may know him. What is your determined purpose? That I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way. So he's referring to a passion of knowing him. To know him, it brings us back to this place where Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You become very, it's a close walk with him. And you can't walk with him and become stale. Amen. If there's no freshness about your life, the question mark is on your walk. Amen. Come on, just touch your neighbor. Just kind of feel their shoulder, you know. Just touch them. Come on, some of y'all ain't touching each other. Just touch your neighbor. Just kind of feel their shoulder, you know. You know how you do a loaf of bread. You check to see, because if it's hard and dried up, you don't want that. You want some. Your neighbor might be stale. You know, stale bread gets crusty. Well, y'all hurried up and took your hand off each other on that one. Lord, deal with this crusty bunch. That I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection. Do you know what that power is? Righteousness. That's why the enemy fights the church tooth and nail. So you won't know. Because see, we like to say, oh, that I may know him. We want to know him and know his resurrection power. But if you don't understand righteousness, you won't understand the resurrection power. Amen. And if we're not walking in resurrection power, we're in some serious trouble. Amen. Amen. That I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness. Say his likeness. Even to his death. Amen. So here's three things that you need to know in understanding righteousness. First one is that there is a difference between righteousness by works or the law and the righteousness which is by faith. They're totally different. Say totally different. Our righteousness is a free gift. Free. Say free. Who likes free stuff? Yeah, y'all know how it is. You know, they're having a family gathering. Y'all know where I'm going. You got folks in the family that don't bring nothing, but they tote. They tote stuff out. Everybody say tote. Yeah, they be toting stuff. They even got some aluminum pans in the trunk. They send Junior and Junebug and little Dirty Sally to get something. Everybody got a plate and another plate. Amen. But it's free. So our righteousness is a free gift. It's a free gift, but you have to receive a gift. And we're righteous because God has declared us to be. That's the righteousness by faith. God declared, when you receive Jesus Christ, at the same time you received him, God declared you righteous. He declared you in right standing with him. Romans 5:17 says, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, is that on your paper? Yes. Much more those who receive, everybody say receive, abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. When you receive those two things, the Bible says, here's a guarantee. You will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. So we got folks that we're asking God for grace, but we won't receive righteousness. And you're trying to reign. Amen. You got folks that say, I'm righteous, but they don't receive the grace of God. It's these two. You got to receive both of them. And he said, here's the promise. It's a guarantee. You will reign in life. Not when you get to heaven, in this life. You will reign. And that means not just things that are outside of you, but things pertaining to you. Amen. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And that key to becoming righteous is simply receiving Jesus. The moment you receive Jesus, you are declared righteous. So here's the second thing you need to know. When you are the righteousness of God, it means that you can stand before him without the sense of guilt, condemnation, or inferiority. That is the definition of righteousness. You can stand before God without the sense of guilt, without a sense of condemnation, and without a sense of inferiority. You can stand before him as though you had never, ever sinned. Now, your brain will not wrap around that one. You have to meditate the word of God until that old thinking is shut down, and this thinking, according to Scripture, begins to be established in you. Do you see why it's got to be established? Because the enemy will know whether or not you know who you are. And he'll roll up on you and challenge you in several areas. One of them is, I know what you did last night. And that's enough to shut the average bear down. Oh, in the name of Jesus, I know what you did. You just got shut down. Amen. It's like in a fight, somebody talking all that noise and somebody say something, and you see a little twitch in their eye, a little movement in their body language, and you know I got them. That's the way the enemy deals. And so the Bible tells us it's important for, does this make sense? It's important for us to understand that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have to take the word of God and meditate it. Now let me throw this in. Never is this a license to sin. And if you're trying to cut corners and, you know, I'm going to do this and then I'm going to repent, you may wake up dead. Amen. It also means that you have rights before God because you of your right standing with him. So you got certain rights, certain inalienable rights, just like in this country. You got certain rights as a citizen of this country. Amen. You can go to another country and have your passport. And even if you look like you belong in another country, you got a passport that says I have certain rights that the government of this country backs me up. Amen. Y'all know if we went to Africa on a vacation or some trip and you misplace your passport, we are in trouble. Tell your neighbor, say, you know you in trouble. Yeah, you look like the locals. You be holding that passport for dear life. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You just got, it's only that passport. It's not your good looks. It's not your charm. It's not all that your ability to smooth talk and all. It's not that that's going to get you out the country. It's your passport. And your righteousness is a passport that lets you in and out of places. And the enemy can't do anything. They have to back up. They can be mad all they want. But you got your passport. It's legal documentation that you are a citizen of heaven. You're a child of Almighty God. And they know you better not touch them. Amen. If they tried to hold you in South Africa and they want to discard your passport, all the way from the president's office, a notice will come. You better let them go, and I don't mean maybe. And you're going to have to pay something because you held them up illegally. Amen. So some of us are being held up. You don't even know what the passport is. You didn't even take time to figure it out. You didn't take time to read it. Y'all know how it is. Oh, I know how to do this. You don't want to read the fine print. And you put the toy together wrong with extra parts left. Here's the third thing you need to know. Being made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus also means that you have an equality with God and a responsibility to God. And this messes folks up. An equality to God. Oh, no, I ain't God. I didn't say you were God, because you're not. Look at your neighbor and say, you know you ain't. No, you're not God, but you have an equality with him. Amen. Do you remember when in Genesis 15, when God had talked to Abram and told him, leave your, he was a moon worshiper. He didn't know God. And so God came to him and said, go to a place that I'm going to show you, and I'm going to make a nation of you, and so forth and so on. And this is where the Hebrew nation was born from, with Abraham. And so what wind up happening in Genesis 15, Abram said, Lord, what are you going to give me? You haven't given me anything, seeing that I go childless. I don't have a child. I don't have an heir. And the heir, according to our custom, is Eliezer, who is my head servant. You haven't given me anything. And so God brought him outside, had him look at the stars. When he looks at the stars, then God says, if you can count the stars, you'll see how many of your descendants are going to be. And then he said, how am I going to know that the land is mine? When God had him to look at the stars, the Bible said Abram believed God. And the next thing it says, and God credited to his account as righteousness. Not a righteous act. He raised him up from a mere man to a level with God. A man doing business with God. On the same level as God. Did you know that's how Adam operated? Okay. You do not fellowship with animals. You might like your animal. You may take care of them. You may pet them, hold them, hug them. But you cannot have an intimate fellowship because they're not on your level. It's too much for y'all. Is that too much for y'all? See, that's what got the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt, and they the spies went into the promised land. They put themselves on the level of insects. Go back and read it. We were like grasshoppers in their sight. You made in God's image and in covenant with God. A people that God has raised up, brought into existence, and you have the nerve to tell God that you are like a grasshopper in the sight of your enemies. And God got hot. And he told Moses, okay, that's all right. He said, I'm going to get rid of all of them. I'll start over with you. And Moses interceded. You go back and read it. They didn't see themselves on an equality with God. And see, for us, Jesus did it for us. It's hard to wrap your brain around that one. But you need to know that. Amen. Say, I'm a son. I'm a child of God. Well, I might as well, since I got that out there, I might as well go to Colossians. It's not on your paper, but go to Colossians chapter 1. Because you need to have God's word on it. Not just because I'm telling you. You need God's word on it. Colossians chapter 1. And look at verse 15. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. This is talking about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Y'all see that? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Look down at verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. So that's talking about us. It's too much for y'all. He's the head of the body, verse 18. The church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. So Jesus was dead and had to be born again. And the Bible said our life is hidden in him. Okay, you in Colossians, go back to the next door to the next book, Philippians chapter 2. Because see, we have an equality with God and we have a responsibility to God. That's why I said you can't be trying to find loopholes so you can sin. There ain't no loopholes. There are no loopholes. If you sin, you chose to do that. Can't get no saints to look this way. Philippians 2, look at verse 5. Here's part of your responsibility and also your equality. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equality, but made himself of no... I know you're saying, well, that's Jesus. Well, your life is in Christ. So you got to understand what it means to be in Christ. You don't get saved and then go try to work this out on your own. You can't do it. You couldn't do it then, and you can't do it now. That's why he did it. We just have to receive what he did. It's righteousness of that is of faith. It's by faith. He did it. My faith is in him and what he did. I don't have to try to do all this stuff and be all real good and stuff. I come to him and trust him, and he teaches me how to live this righteous life. My job is to obey. Ain't nobody saying. Verse 6, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself. There's the key. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Remember Jesus said in the Gospels, what we're to do is take up our cross daily and follow him. So that means there's a life of obedience leading all the way up to the cross, and we're to carry that cross, take it up daily. Amen. Amen. Say, I have equality with God. And I have a responsibility. Okay, go next door to the left and go to Ephesians. Go to chapter 3. See, this is the way you learn. Line upon line, precept upon precept. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So when you got the word of God, then you go and take it and begin to read it and meditate it. Read it and meditate it. Let the Spirit of God begin to speak to you from the word of God and open the eyes of your understanding. You begin to see, wait a minute. I've been living beneath my privileges. Because I already told you, as the righteousness of God, you have certain rights. And the enemy is going to come to see if you know what your rights are. And if you don't know what your rights are, they will get violated. Okay, here's part of your responsibility. Ephesians chapter 3, and look at verse 14. Oops, I'm in Galatians. Ephesians 3, verse 14 says, for this reason, this is Paul talking, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So you got to watch how you live because you wear his name. I say you got to watch how you live because you wear his name. Jesus didn't act a fool, so we shouldn't be. Jesus wasn't slipping, tipping, and dipping, so we shouldn't be. Jesus wasn't hustling nobody, so we shouldn't be. Say, I wear his name. Verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So that means our responsibility is to live by faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love. Uh-oh. What are you rooted and grounded in? Because it will be seen by your lifestyle. Oh, Lord, I didn't know it would be like plowing through rocks. Being rooted and grounded in love, verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Uh-oh, so you're not an isolated person. You need everybody else. See, in a group, there's accountability. When I don't want to be around nobody, that means Proverbs 18:1, I believe it says, when a person wants to be isolated, they meddle in things they got no business meddling in. So I don't want to be around folks. It means I got some little sneaky, conniving, deceptive desire going on. And I want nobody around so I can go ahead and do it. Amen. It doesn't matter what the motives are. The Lord already knows. And he will expose it. Because you wear his name. What is the width and length and depth and height to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God? That's in this earth realm. So I have a responsibility. We told you the other day that righteousness is your new nature. Your new nature. When you got born again, before we got born again, we had a sin nature. You didn't have to learn how to sin. We were born into it. Well, actually, when you receive Jesus, you are born again, and you're born of righteousness. So your new nature is righteous. Say, I'm righteous. I'm righteous. Say it again. Nudge your neighbor and tell them who you are. So it's your new nature. Then righteousness is your new garment or your new covering. Amen. We have on a robe of righteousness. And then righteousness is your new position. The Bible says we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're seated far above all principality and power. You're up over the devil. So how can the devil have you down? You don't understand righteousness. Trouble, oh, trouble, 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 trouble. You know, it made songs out of it. You got to learn how to trouble the devil. Amen. Because I promise you, because you are a child of God and he has declared you righteous, you are known in the spirit realm. You are known. Now, the big question comes up, what are you known for? All right, let's look at this. God's reflection. Genesis chapter 1. I don't know what's on your outline. I don't know if I wrote it out or you got to go to Genesis chapter 1. But Genesis chapter 1 verse 24. It says, then God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. Underline its kind. Did I underline it? Well, I forgive y'all. According to its kind, it was so. Verse 25, and God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. All this hybrid stuff, God didn't make it. So every species of livestock, wild beasts, insects, everything that was created was based on a pattern. Well, what I'm doing is laying out foundational things so you'll understand and you got something to stand on about righteousness. Amen. Everything was made after a pattern. The earth brought forth prototypes and the law of creation got set into motion. So when God created man, it was no different. God subjected himself to his own law. You in Genesis, look at verse 20, 26 and 20 through 28. Is that on your paper? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over all the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Verse 28, and God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God simply wanted man to be a reflection of himself. So all the cattle and everything else was created after their kind. Right? We were created after God's kind. Yes. Amen. So folks talking about, see, that puts a bullet in the head of this stuff. We evolved. Yeah. and something was in the water, and some molecules got together, and then it began to sprout fins, and it began to stroke, and it crawled up on the land, and it laid there for a while, and it developed lungs where it could breathe air, and then it began to crawl, and then it began to crawl on all fours, and then it stood upright, and we evolved. No, God already told us. Everything came after a prototype of its kind. And God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, after our kind. Amen. And so it's a law of creation. And when you go back and look in Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God. Well, you'll find out that it's Elohim, the creator. See, we use the word God is generic. Yeah. But he was talking about Elohim, the creator. Right. Lord God. Let me tell you what this word create means. You'll like this. It's similar to the word sculpting or sculpturing. I say sculpting, but sculpturing. And it describes both creating by bringing into existence and by fashioning existing matter into something new. So God brought man into being from himself. He never existed before. God brought him into being, created him. Then he creates his physical body out of dirt that already was in existence. He sculptured this physical body. Amen. You go and read when he put Adam to sleep and he took a rib and formed or made Eve. Yes. That word means built. Yes. Yes. He built Sister Gert. The Commodore's got a revelation of that. Says she's a winning hand because she's a house. Yeah. See, God built her. But when he formed man's body, he sculptured the body. And in there was the woman. So he put Adam to sleep. Well, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. But he put Adam to sleep because he had to do it because Adam recognized something. Go to Genesis 2. Go to Genesis 2. Genesis 2. Look at verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Breathe into him the breath of life. Now, Adam is a reflection of God. It's not like God held up a mirror and then drew himself. He took Adam out of himself. Because he's made from the same stuff God made of. God's kind. A man in the earth. And that was important because the earth is a replica of heaven. So Adam is a replica of God in the earth. Daddy runs heaven. His son runs the earth. It's a family affair. It's a family affair. Some of you young bucks don't know anything about that. One child grows up to be someone who loves to learn. Y'all know that about that. See, it's back when. They don't know that about that. Y'all come on back. Look at somebody say it's a family affair. See, from the beginning, God was always about family. And he still is. The Bible said God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always been about family. That's why it bothers him, because the body can't seem to get together. We don't understand what God has always been after. This thing has always been about family. Amen. And we so hung up, I'm just trying to get to heaven. Well, you ain't going to be there long. We coming back here. We were made for the earth. We were made for here. I just want to go to heaven. You ain't going to be there long. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyway, God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Look at this as point A. The Chumash Hebrew translation of the scripture translate Genesis 2:7 this way. God breathed into the nostrils of man, and man became another speaking spirit. Why? Because God is a spirit, and he speaks creatively because he's the creator. So he made Adam another speaking spirit. Remember, Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away because then I will send another comforter. Another means not someone of a different kind, someone who's of the very exact same. He said, so I'm going to send the Spirit of God. He's going to comfort you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to lead and guide you into all truth and so forth. And so Adam is another just like God who can speak creatively. Amen. Speaking creatively. All right. You in Genesis chapter 2, look at verse 19. Because you find nowhere in the scripture that it says that, it tells us that God made the animals. But it doesn't say that he did what he did to Adam, to the animals. In verse 7, he breathed the breath of life. Here's how he breathed the breath of life. Because see, for a long time, I even thought that God did, you know, lip lock, you know, and you know, like CPR, you know, kind of blow into his mouth, and then Adam became a living soul. No, God speaks. Really, we call it when God exhaled. When you speak, you don't breathe in, you breathe out. Air, breath that is in you. Look at your neighbor and say, don't be breathing on me. Exhale. When you speak, it comes forward. And Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So God exhaled himself life. And Adam became alive and another speaking spirit. But God didn't just leave him there. He began to teach him how to be the God of this earth. Look at verse 19. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam. Pause for a second. Keep in mind, Adam is righteous. He's in right standing with God. There is no guilt, no condemnation, no inferiority. He's on the same level as God. Why? Because he's God's child. He came out of God. So he don't have to scratch his head. Well, no, sir, Jesus. Please, sir, if you could just see your way. No, no, no. That's an inferiority complex. If you understand what he's done for you, you will come boldly to the throne with reverence and receive what you need. Amen. Receiving it. Reach and grab it and run. No. You did your parents like that, they throw a brick at you because that's dishonor. So God, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam. So can't you see the Lord walking with one big bird and bring it to Adam and then brought everything else, just brought them to him. Because keep in mind, he's the God of this world. He's the God of this earth. Adam is. Yeah. Brought them to Adam to see what he, Adam, would call them. Would call them? That's another law of the kingdom called the law of faith. Calling things that be not as though they were. All he had was a form. They had no life. So Adam gave them life when he called them. Yeah. When he called them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name. Then look at verse 20. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air. That's when they took off and started flying. Nothing happened. Why? Because Adam was the one in authority. So whoever's in authority gives the life. God's in charge. Adam's under his authority. Who gave Adam life? Who gave Adam life? Then who was Adam accountable to? Who gave you your new life? Then who are you accountable to? Righteousness. Keep reading. So Adam gave names to all cattle, verse 20, birds of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable on his level. He ain't got nobody to hang with. He has to wait for God to show up to walk with him in the cool of the day. So when he named all these animals, there was the cow and there was the bull. He named them. Cow knew she was cow. And bull knew she was bull. I mean, he was bull. Sheep, ram, hello. Dog. Come on, you get what I'm saying? There was somebody, they all had somebody in their kind so that they could reproduce their kind. God just got them started off. But Adam gave them life. Okay. You ever wondered why or how Noah could get all those animals on the ship? You know, because we're coming up, you know, in Sunday school, you know, teacher, how he get all them animals on that ship? Well, he had to chase them down. Oh, okay. It makes sense. I wouldn't have been one. Who going to chase down a lion? Who going to chase down a rhino? Even if you caught up with him, I want you to get on that ship. Make me. Make me. Come on, you know it's somebody, you know it's some old hard head. Sin's in the world, so some hard head animal gonna be like, make me. I'll run you over, little man. I wondered for a long time, Lord, how did he do that? He said, son, go back and look at it in Genesis. And when I began to look at it, Adam had the authority in the earth. So animals had to obey man. They had to obey him. Genesis, this is out here, but it's in the scripture. In Genesis 6, when it talks about God said, whatever these folks are imagining, their imagination was vain, all kind of wicked stuff. God said, I'm going to destroy all of this. Why? How can you have, you got perversion, you got humans mating with animals, and they producing these, what do you call it, the centaurs and cyclops. I mean, just hideous things. You know, half man, half goat, half man, half horse. You know, how can you get a half man, half horse? That'll kill a woman trying to give birth to that. And the Lord told me, he said, yeah, it would. He said, but it wouldn't kill a horse. A horse is designed to give birth to a foal, something that size. So that means some man been with Look at somebody say So animals had to obey man. So they were, all of creation was under the curse. That's what Romans says. All of creation is groaning under the weight of the curse of sin. waiting for the sons of God to step forward. Go read Romans chapter 8. Guess who you are? The sons of God are the righteous. But the people of God have not, we've run from, ain't nobody righteous. There's no none righteous. No, not one. When God is saying, "You, I declared you righteous." Oh, no. I'll never be charged with that. So we're saying God is a lie. And that makes redemption incomplete. So that means Jesus didn't finish anything. So when he said it's finished, that means he lied. And if he lied, then he can't be God. And if he can't be God, we don't have any salvation. And we have no salvation. The devil has the right to rule. But all that's a lie because we have been redeemed. And the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Psalms 107. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So Adam saw, hey, ain't nobody here for me. And then God said, verse 21, he caused a deep sleep on him. Because, you know, he said, it ain't good for a little man to be alone. Because he's given life to everything. I'll make him a helpmeet. In verse 22, God took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh. Then the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made or built into a woman. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, he breathed, he spoke, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She's on my level. She shall be called man with a womb, because she was taken out of me. Therefore, I got to leave my mama and my daddy. Can't be fooling with y'all now. Love your mama and daddy, but I got my woman. Everybody say, this is because of righteousness. Yeah, see, you got to go all the way back to the beginning so you can understand it. This is how things are operating. Now that we're born again, God wants us to understand that we're righteous and your words need to work for you. Because death and life is in the power of the tongue. And I am out of time. Glory to God. Give the Lord a hand of praise.
We trust that you were blessed by this dynamic word. Visit us online at ccctr.org and allow Christ to reproduce his heart in you, the heart of the ideal servant.